Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to this breaking news bulletin. I'm David Brinkley.
Come on, Robert.
Sad news in the world of professional wrestling today, as Eddie Fatu, a.k.a. Umaga, a.k.a.
Jamal.
3-Minute Warning. Yeah, I said Jamal.
Sorry.
Of 3-Minute Warning has passed away this afternoon. There are many reasons... Some people can think of many reasons why he died, but he was found in a Texas hospital this afternoon, passed away. I want to read a special note that Matt Annoy, a.k.a. Rosie, his partner from 3-Minute Warning, wrote to the WrestleCraft forums. He states, I want to start off by saying thanks for all the kind words about my family and my cousin that have been told were posted on this board. This is a very tough time for us, as can be imagined, and we are glad that we have fans like you guys to help keep Eddie's memory alive. He lived to entertain you guys, and like the rest of the Annoy Fatu family, he was happy to be able to do that for so many years. A lot of questions about his death are still a mystery, and we ask that you please keep this speculation at a minimum as not to tarnish my cousin's name. Once again, thanks for the support. Long live Samoa. Long live the Annoy family, and long live the memory of Eddie Fatu. Best wishes, Matt Annoy, a.k.a. Rosie.
Well, count me as one of the people who is going to speculate, because, with all due respect to the man, and I am sorry that he died way, way, way too young at the age of 36, he is another in the long, long, long list of wrestlers who, A, fell off the wellness policy, and, B, died way too young. I'm sorry. I'm sad for the guy's death, but this is part of a larger picture that is still wrestlers dying way too fucking young, and it's disgusting. It saddens me. It makes me ill. I'm sorry about this, and I apologize for getting on my soapbox on this. But when you see a guy who was on the wellness program and been in the wellness program twice and failed, and he was not exactly in the best of shape physically. He was fat. He was overweight. These are contributing factors to his death. I'm sorry. I apologize to Rosie in advance if he's listening, because he'll probably kick my rear end. But the deal is that this is what you have to talk about this. You can't. It's the elephant in the room.
Okay, then let's talk about that elephant in the room. First of all, we still do not know the cause of death, and you're simply linking it to the fact that it was speculated when he was released back in June that he had refused rehab. As for the fat comment, Samoans in general have a very hard time, with the exception of The Rock, but because of his mixed heritage, he doesn't have this problem. Samoans have trouble controlling their weight, and he was trying to keep that under control. That's never the reason he ended up on the wellness policy in the first place, so let's not even go there.
Okay, fair. That's absolutely fair. I mean, it just pisses me off that he's dead, okay?
It should. Yeah, I'm not arguing that. I'm arguing the fact that you cannot speculate, or you're welcome to speculate. It's a free country.
Right.
But you might want to wait and see what the facts are, because the wild speculation right now ranges anything from prescriptions to sleep apnea.
Okay. That's okay. Yeah.
So, this is not the time for that.
Okay.
This is too fresh.
Okay. All right. I will agree with you. But even let's play a little something a little different here. Let us say that Mr. Fatu died of natural causes. Okay? But even so, at 36,
I've never said that that was a good thing, or I've never said that. And you should
no. I am saying that this is a larger picture of something that we discussed earlier, you and I, Nikki, which is that wrestlers beat the crap out of each other for 52 weeks of a year, 365 days a year, for 20 to 25 years of their lives, and if they last that long. What this is a bigger picture of is the idea that wrestlers need to, A, take care of themselves, either by forcing themselves out, or, B, putting themselves on a switch schedule or something to that effect.
I agree, but you're gonna have to shake it up all the way down to the independent level, because at the independent level, you don't work, you don't get paid, you can't pay your bills.
I'm going to stop this conversation right now before it gets too out of hand.
No, we're not out of hand.
Yes, but he's got a point. We do have a lot of other things to discuss.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, but yes, you will be missed. You gave us a lot, as in the words of William Regal Umanga.
Right. We will, however, go back to the story next week once we have more details. But until that time, that's it for that subject. It's too sticky.
Okay.
So let's talk about Monday Night Raw and Vern Troyer's appearance on the show. Or let's be honest here, his hosting appearance and the show itself came off, well, a little flat.
Yeah, I mean, you know what it was? As we all know, WWE is doing one of their greatest shows of the year, the Tribute to the Troops show. They've already filmed it. I believe they're back in the United States or going to be.
They've already been overseas. They are coming back.
Okay. And you had about 20 people going out. And what I think, this was just a coast show. They coasted. There was a few funny moments, like Santino dealing with Sheamus. That was fine. I thought Vern Troyer wasn't even, it didn't work. Didn't work at all for me.
Honestly, about the show, a couple of things worked. For instance, Mark Henry squishing the loving hell out of Jillian. That was funny.
Well, yeah.
Then we got Carlito saying what every single smark in the world wide of wrestling wanted to say to John Cena's face, which probably got him beat down.
Well, yeah, you know what, though? Cena was... That did work. I thought Cena's promo work there was fine. I actually liked that. I don't like when Cena is either in his over-the-top mode. I like serious Cena. Serious Cena works for me. You know?
Yeah. Go, Nikki.
I was going to say, the further shenanigans with the World's Strongest Tag Team seem to be a bit of a filler or a cover. Is it just me? It just didn't fit. I have a feeling something happened to the video about Small Claims Court and DX.
I actually know what happened to that.
Talk to me.
They are filming it this coming week. They were going to film it this week, but supposedly, according to PW Insider and Mike Johnson, Vince McMahon, because it got leaked, he postponed it a week.
Huh?
How
can it be leaked? Go, Typho.
I mean, they announced it. They announced it on the show that they were going to do it. How can you leak
something? They did not announce a court date. They didn't announce the Little People's Court on the show. They didn't announce anything to that effect.
In a way, they did. DX received summons for court.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nikki. I apologize.
Well, the previous week, they received a summons for court. So it's safe to guess that they were going to do it the following week.
Yeah.
Maybe he was griping because, yeah, PW Insider put a thing out there that a Baltimore courthouse had been rented out for the sake of doing the segment.
And there was a Craigslist ad, I believe, a casting notice for little people.
By the way, good evening, Mr. Chenier.
Good evening, Ralph. Who's that?
Yes.
Boobies. Moving on. About Monday Night Raw in general, like I said, it was flat. Vern Troyer is hosting. I think we said it third worst.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, sounds
about
right.
Well, which is a shame. I do like Vern Troyer's work, but he's in a lot worse shape than I thought. I didn't realize he was that off.
For all the evidence they need for him being completely off, I think you just need to go to his run on the Surreal Life and him peeing in the corner.
He's not exactly one of the brightest bulbs in the deck, unfortunately. Fame got to his head. And it was actually a little bit sad to watch. But I did like the Cena Shame. The Cena Sheamus build is going nicely. And they're actually setting up the card for a pay-per-view that I might actually buy. TLC.
Oh, I thought you were talking about UFC 107.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute, too. Go for it.
Yeah, because we will be talking Ultimate Fighter in the last few minutes of the show. Also, in the world of Monday Night Raw, I think we've pretty much covered everything in the world of Raw.
That was of import. Well, basically, Triple H beat Chris Jericho.
Shocker.
There's a law.
What, the 500th time?
No, there's an unwritten law. Jericho's not allowed to beat Triple H, period.
Or have it stick in the record books.
Exactly.
Well,
there's an unwritten law, but go ahead.
I understand why they did this. This was specifically, I understand why, because Big Show can't go, okay, as we saw this week on SmackDown. If you saw his leg, his knee bone is way AFU'd. They are doing it now because Triple H beat Chris Jericho. Now Chris Jericho has to face DX in a handicap match. Although the promo work between Jericho and DX was very good this week. It was good stuff. Good stuff. It was the best stuff on the show. But we'll hopefully have a better host than Mark Cuban, and we'll have a good go-home show for the TLC match.
Right. Anything else, VRM, Typho, Josh?
No.
Did Miz really need to do the stupid Austin Powers jokes? Because that was just...
Come on, you know decade-old jokes are his thing.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just now relevant to him.
Okay, now let's go to ECW, and now we turn it over to Typho, where he trips the like Mark Tastic of the Dude Busters.
I always enjoy my little segments where I get to discuss the life and times of the latest FCW call-up. This week, we got to see a team FCW fans know as the Dude Busters, which would be Kalen Croft and Trent Barretta, who apparently somewhere along the way from Florida lost their team name, but, you know, what can you do? Also, should be noted in FCW, recently they have been a trio, also involving Curt Hawkins, but apparently he also got lost along the way, so it's just Barretta and Croft. Some of you may know Kalen Croft from his previous developmental stint as Chris Cage in OVW. He was released and was re-signed last year, I believe. Basically, Kalen Croft and Trent Barretta are, I would say, in a sense, late 90s, early 2000s, Edge and Christian light. I'd say they have that potential. They're a good little comedy duo, kind of, and they can go in the ring, especially Croft/Cage.
Yes.
And I see, and Barretta, Trent Barretta is pretty good as well. He was a pretty decent star in the Northeast indie scene before he got signed. And I think, considering they're a tag team, I don't know how bright their future as a team is, but as far as a tag team in WWE, I think they can go far. However far that is, I don't know. Maybe as far as the Hart Dynasty and Crime Time.
Hey. Only question is, will they bring along the third member of the Dude Busters? One,
I would love to see Kurt Hawkins.
Now, I thought Cross looked familiar. I hadn't seen him in a bit, and I ran into him periodically in OVW. He is very good in the ring, and he apparently has a little appeal to the opposite sex, recalling the screams that I heard at an OVW show. None of them were mine. Don't even start. This poor guy also had to tag team with Miz during a house show stint back in 2005, 2006.
Yeah, he was actually scheduled to be called up in a tag team with the Miz. That's why they were working house shows, and that's when he was released. And there was a reason he was released, and I just don't remember what it was.
I don't know.
He did something, but I don't remember what.
I don't think it was his fault that they made him dress up as a pirate in Youngstown.
Speaking of pirates, their first line walking into ECW, as they walked by Paul Burchill leaving Tiffany's office, I believe it was Beretta who said, "Didn't that guy used to be a pirate?"
It made me giggle.
One of the better first lines of an appearance for anyone, I believe.
Yeah.
Speaking of ECW, as we just saw, Abraham Washington's starting to get fed up with Tony Atlas.
Not surprised.
Around.
Yep. But and also a reoccurring storyline is Paul Burchill no longer being on ECW. But wait.
Yep.
Could you set that one up again? I love that. Go ahead.
Okay.
But wait. There you go.
Oh, man. I just let one go.
Anybody on the show was too young to get the reference sound effect, but apparently you guys are not. Okay.
No, we are.
I just have one sound for what you just said, Josh.
CM Punk. This isn't Wrestle Prep Radio.
It's T.L. Hopper.
Yes.
No. If we're talking about Virchel and we're talking about the next step in his insidious plan, we need to be talking about Quang.
Oh.
Look at that.
Okay.
Seriously, look at that mask and tell me you don't see Quang.
I see Kane, a weirdly, weirdly deformed mask with a veil over it.
It kind of reminded me of an anime character, you know, Cthulhu. You know that?
Okay.
But there's
he's not
no
an anime character.
Percentages and no mind raping. Yes.
Not anime, trust me.
He looks
like looks
a weird like... version of the Predator. He should team with Mark Henry.
Yes!
Oh, no!
Oh!
I'm looking at the map. Yes. Oh, yes.
Ouch.
It's
so we
true.
Got Quang, we got Cthulhu, we got the Predator.
And
well,
it's, yeah.
Well, let's see, he was a pirate, and he was. And this was the ninja part, so, you know, somebody already did a zombie, and nobody's going to let him do a robot. And if anybody gets that reference, please slap me now.
Okay. Let me come to Columbus and slap you.
Oh, wow. Oh, dear me. This is good. This is just... We have absolutely... I'm looking at the mask. Let me just see. The mask. Let me see. I'm trying to find it. Because it does look like the Predator. It really does. Whoever said that is absolutely right.
Picture 22
typo would have the
on
correct the answer.
Star page of their mask.
Yep. You know... It's off of Mark Summers' Tennis TV show. You know. You know what would have been even cooler? They should have just done something special for this instead of a stupid run-in.
You think he should have just
should have got the blackout. It should have then gone back to normal. You had Cthulhu, Cthulhu Quang, or whatever the hell that Mask Man was, with his own version of the Hurricane. And he just blasts Hurricane with it.
I would have
and then he just laughs maniacally. And you know what? This, I don't care how much money WWE has to spend. This song has to be his theme. It's a really good song. It's done by Powerman 5000. If I could let it load up.
Boot. Yeah.
Powerman 5000? Sounds
about
right.
Oh, by the
way,
the mask, I've seen it now, and I'm going even older school on the mask.
Okay.
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Wow.
How about MSD3KY's The Bloodwater of Dr. Z?
That's good, but I'm telling you, I'm an old school sci-fi freak. That is a carbon copy of the Creature from the Black Lagoon mask.
Okay, so can I get Cthulhu Quang, William Regal, Doctor Doom, the Monster Squad? Take your pick of any costumes you want, against the Hurricane, Yoshitatsu dressed as Ultraman, and Captain Charisma.
Well, there needs to be two more people.
Vance Archer as Robin Hood.
Oh,
and
Green Arrow.
No. Well, you're right, but here's the thing. Vance Archer is currently heel, otherwise if he were a face, that would work. But see, Robin Hood is face.
Okay,
he would have to be the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Oh, no. Is Green Arrow tweener? My comic geek is not very strong.
Green Arrow's face.
Okay. Although I'm double geeking, so give me a point.
Let's ask our judge, Skippy Trebek, Alex Trebek's overbearing German school marm. Does she get the point?
Ah, oh, ooh.
By the way, this needs to be his theme song. How about that for a theme song for Cthulhu Quang Predator guy?
I agree.
Decent.
Yep.
I like guitars and drums and all that good stuff.
Iron Man 5000 would be so proud.
By the way, just as a little aside, PW Insider also broke a story about ECW earlier on this week.
Ooh.
You need to talk about this.
You're going.
All right. More ECW news, but wait. We might no longer have an ECW.
That's correct. WWE is in negotiations with Sci-Fi to basically de-brand the third hour on Tuesdays as ECW and rebrand it as a sort of youth exposure, young, basically a what ECW is now without the ECW letters to be associated with it, if you can understand that.
So basically just a name change.
Pretty much. And
a name change and an attitude change, sort of, to a point.
Speaking to those who remember the original, I think it's about bloody time we did this. Given that we haven't even seen Tommy Dreamer in the last 2 months, so that is the last remnant. Let's go ahead and shine it up. you know, let's put the F back in. We call it Future Championship Wrestling or something like that.
I have a better idea.
What?
You know, this name was done in the 80s. It's TNT with your host, Josh Matthews, and Iron Saxton.
Why not? Tuesday Night Titans, you use that. I don't care. That works.
Yeah.
I have the TNT initials reserved these days. They're going to have to go through me.
talk to Turner Network Television about that one.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Nah, I own Turner.
Yeah. But seriously, folks, though, I mean, look, everyone's going, oh, it's the death of ECW. No, let me tell you something. ECW, as we know it, died.
December the disaster.
Yeah, December 10, 2006.
Yeah, pretty much.
That was it. Poor Paulie.
The third anniversary of that will be this coming Thursday. Yeah.
Right. I mean, running around the outside of the cage with fans yelling, "What the fuck, Paul? What the fuck?" And he's just looking back over his shoulder saying, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry."
Just look at that December to Dismember show and look down the people that were on it and notice how many of them are not here anymore.
Mm-hmm. Try all of them.
There's no one on that show that's left?
No, I could check
the
Kelly
show.
Kelly.
Yes, that was a terrible, terrible pay-per-view.
December to Dismember 2006. Yes. Okay.
By the way, I have to make note of this.
Match where you can't brawl.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, here we go. Stevie Richards defeated Ray Vene Dupree. God.
That was the dark match.
TNA versus unknown.
Okay.
Mexico.
Independent.
Japan.
Then the Hardys, Matt and Jeff. One gone, one there. Defeated M&M, Mercury, and Nitro. One there, one gone. With Molina.
Best match of the night.
Okay.
By far and large.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Sum it up where everybody is right now with those two. Matt's still, he's on SmackDown.
Yep.
Jeff could be facing legal problems. However, that court date just got pushed back to January 10th, 2010.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know about
Joey Mercury is in Ring of Honor now.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's not even done with them.
And John Morrison holds on to the Intercontinental title.
Okay, next
yeah.
one. Balls Mahoney defeated Matt Stryker. We all know where Stryker is.
Yeah.
But that's a good place for him.
Yeah, I know. But
he's good Balls there.
And Balls Mahoney's still looking for the promoter that owes him money in Jersey.
Yeah, yes. On that video, yes. By the way, though, I think Stryker needs to tone down the geek a little bit.
Oh, well, come on!
The geek is his gimmick!
Okay.
The geek is his gimmick. Go back to ECW and call Hurricane matches, or they need to move Hurricane to SmackDown.
Okay. Then you have Elijah Burke, a.k.a. the Pope Angelo De Niro. And
he's
Sylvester,
in DNA now.
Yes. And Sylvester Tierkay defeated the FBI, which is Little Guido and Tony Mameluke, with Trinity, all gone. Okay?
Yep.
I think
yep.
That's a tag team that needs to go to TNA.
Burke and Tierkay?
No, Guido and Mameluke.
And then
it'd be a great X Division team, and then Trinity could go back with... Well, then you get Matt Bentley back if they're going to do it with Trinity.
Then you had Daivari with the Great Khali, Daivari, a.k.a. Sheikh Abdul Bashir, defeated Tommy Dreamer. Then you had Kevin Thorne and Ariel, a.k.a. Mercedes Martinez, I believe, her name? Or
that's no.
Salinas.
Salinas, I'm sorry.
You know,
defeated
sailing.
Mike Knox and Kelly Kelly. And, of course, Mike Knox and Kelly Kelly. Knox is on SmackDown, Kelly Kelly's on Raw. And then the boss, Bobby Lashley.
TNA.
Defeated the Big Show in there. Rob Van Dam.
Release.
European Independent. Hardcore
Getting
Holly.
Getting the itch.
Hardcore Holly, retired.
Yeah.
Indie Gates, rather. Excuse me.
Yeah.
CM Punk, SmackDown.
Better than you.
And Test.
Dead.
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 And so, Sabu was... Sabu was taken out of the match, and he's still floating around the independents, according to Rob.
Mm-hmm.
And he's bald.
Yeah.
He got lost in Egypt for a couple of weeks, too.
I'm shocked Sabu hasn't gone back to Japan.
Probably nobody wants him, and depends on how good, bad, or indifferent his work is right now.
Okay. Exactly, but you know what though? Overall, I good riddance to ECW, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I really don't.
No. Good riddance to Vince's incarnation of ECW.
Bingo. Exactly.
Well, 3.5 years they had a good run. So now let's talk about some tribute to the troops news. It was reported on Tuesday from Raja.com and Daniel Pena.
Reliable source.
Hold on, I'm getting to that. That we had a title change and that John Cena cut a promo saying he wants his rematch with Sheamus, and he was sans belt. But wait!
Wow.
Dofus.
Thank you. We got a PW Insider report from the Tribute to the Troops tapings that day that John Cena was there. Sheamus wasn't. John Cena still had his belt, didn't even mention Sheamus in his promo. So, and guess who Daniel Pena was? He is the jackass from a few months back when we talked about this that created the Chris Benoit Victoria love triangle thing.
Yeah.
He's always getting all the hot
I see why you're reporting this. I understand why in that sense. You're just reporting it because you want to prove that this guy's a fucking jackass.
Not only that, plus I also read the spoilers. So Tribute to the Troops is going to be a pretty damn good show.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you're right, Daniel Pena is a jackass, and for that further effect...
Hi. What about Raja? You know,
Raja
the people who you may or may not trust.
Even if I do put Raja in the room and I have all the... If I go to the website, I'm not risking spyware being put on my computer going to that website.
PW spyware? What?
No. PWI, unless you have an Elite account, maybe. I don't know, Jason.
Elite has no ads at all. That's why I pay the $7 a month.
Okay, well... I've had to step away from using PWI because not only did their ads try to slap a virus on my home computer, they slapped a virus on my work computer.
Oh, yes. And guess what they tried to do to her work computer?
The site was called NudeTube.
Oh, God.
Wow.
And the icons were glorious. Oh my word! I'm surprised I still have a job. I can get myself. I can think of 50 other ways to get fired. I don't need another website's help.
By the way, that program was called Antivirus Shield Pro.
Oh yes, so I had to get it. I had to peel it off of Seidelman's computer too.
That's why you don't go surfing without about 3 or 4 different layers of protection.
I got AVG.
On your wang.
Got 2 or 3 pop-up blockers.
Just as a little recommendation, these are mine. I have Norton Antivirus 2010 combined with...
Ramhog.
Okay, yeah, but it's good. Sorry. Two, I also have something called Malware Bytes, which is good. I also have something called SpyBot Search and Destroy. That's a great that is a great program. And also something called AdAware, also another very good program.
I have SpyBot, but I also run Avast, which is free and doesn't mess with your computer as much.
Avast.
AdBlock Plus from Firefox's stuff.
Woo!
run Avast, SpyBot, and Attaware.
Good stuff. Good.
Yeah, I've got Avast and Attaware.
Yes, but anyway, I'm sorry. We got off topic. Go ahead. So, yeah, some trivia. So they've done – usually the Tribute to the Troop show has no belts involved at all. They never – when I heard that, I'm like, what? You know? They never do belt stuff. They just do non-storyline matches. I mean, they do semi-storyline. What they do is they fill in the matches, and then usually the people who announce it call it in what, Connecticut usually?
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, they do it in post because there's no announce stuff down by the ring. It never is.
I think if they were going to do that, it probably from the people who normally go there, I think we might get the duo of Cole and Stryker because I know Cole does a lot of Tribute to the Troop stuff. And then you have Stryker, who's also big on the troops in Iraq.
We might have a three-way there. We might add Lawler to the mix, too.
Lawler, Cole, and Stryker.
Oh, my.
Exactly.
Well, no. That's not the right thing. Here is the right thing.
Oh, my.
Vintage Michael Cole.
Oh, and
we need JBL
way,
in there.
A very, 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 very quick thing. A more full review of this game will be on next week, but I just got SmackDown vs. Raw 2010. The commentators for Raw are accurate in Cole and Lawler. For
yep.
SmackDown, not so much. It's Ross and Taz. Oops.
Uh-oh.
You mean TNA Impact's Taz?
As in TNA Impact's Taz, yes.
Oops. Yeah.
I don't
then again, I've known this too because I got the game day it came out. So yeah,
game's very good from what I've been playing with.
Yeah, it is.
It's
got some issues, but we'll talk about that next week.
Absolutely. So what's next, Mr. Seidelman?
Let's talk Dixie Carter.
Yes, the 18-minute interview.
Yes, we got some good TNA news out of that. It seems like we are getting a second TNA show, not a new show per se, but it'll be a second TNA show.
I'm liking this. I like this a lot, and I'll tell you why. A lot of people who got into TNA late. In the Fox Sports days and in the
early Spike
days. Not many people were willing to fork up people were, but some people didn't fork over the $10 a month.
Some of us were dumb enough to.
No, a lot of it was good in that early
stuff.
Yeah,
it was.
Okay.
Unless it was Sonny Siaki.
Yes, he's fighting Elvis, yes.
All from Graceland, friends, we're friends. Never mind.
Okay.
What
but
the
no,
hell?
If they focus on some really good matches from, say, the first 3 years of TNA, and, you know, work the pay-per-views that way, you know, I mean, work, I believe it's going to be called TNA Epics, correct?
Yes, and some more information on TNA Epics. They have done this in Britain.
They have done this
in Britain. It ran for 10 episodes, and it's gone over pretty well. I think, ran on Bravo 2 in Britain.
This is sort of like their venture into sort of the WWE 24/7 type of a kind of.
They have the vault.
They have the video vault, the TNA video vault. Yes, but I'm talking, this is sort of a more active way of doing it, you know?
Like MSG Classic.
Yeah, that's it.
That's exactly right.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm definitely ready to see some Disciples of the New Church footage.
Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah. James Mitchell, baby. Love
him. He needs to be brought back.
Yeah.
Met him a couple times. Very cool guy.
Yes,
very,
he is.
Very, 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 very cool guy. But what else was in the TNA interview?
It pretty much states that the relationship between Dixie and Jeff is strained, pretty much. And then we had a bit on Impact with Foley trying to call Jeff Jarrett, trying to get him to fight off with him, Hogan and crew. Jeff said, I said, screw TNA for 4 months. I'm still saying screw TNA now. Click.
Was it his voice?
It was his voice.
Do you think that's...
Foley's invited to his house next week.
Well, storyline, perhaps?
Schwarky.
Okay, so what are you thinking, Nikki?
I'm thinking that Foley's having way too much fun shooting on Hogan right now. And somebody needs to go slap Vince Russo, because I was feeling better that I didn't hear Hogan's name, but 4 or 5 times in the first 10 minutes. And then Russo slaps on the card, homicide versus suicide.
Oh, God.
All I could think
Which
of was...
I properly quipped to Nikki. He's laughing all the way right to the unemployment line.
I was like, Russo, you son of a bitch. All I can think of is Ernest the Cat Miller versus the Dawn from Thunder. Oh!
Good old Al Green.
My
By
brain
way,
hurts.
Just a note to Blade Braxton, who I think listens to this show. Why hasn't that been inducted into WrestleCrap yet?
I nominate it for the room right now.
Go so, poke Triple Kelly.
Survey says?
Potato salad.
Survey.
Well?
The board broke.
So it's going into the room.
No.
Can Brian Knobbs lead him in on his leash?
Oh, wow.
No,
wow.
They're gonna drive him out, and they're gonna drive that poor boy all the way out on somewhere in the middle of 528 outside of Orlando, so he can howl at the moon after he jabbed.
Oh,
oh, oh, damn show! Save me.
Anyway, all right, let's move on here. We're gonna talk some non-wrestling right now.
Ooh, okay, what's up?
USG,
the Ultimate Fighter.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Season 10 has wrapped. We have our two for the finals.
Which
is Roy, fat-ass Big Country Nelson.
Bitch tits.
Versus Brendan Schaub.
Now, I know that, what's his face? Kimbo is fighting on the card tomorrow night, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Kimbo is fighting on the card.
Is he still having knee problems, or did he have knee problems back during the taping?
Knee problems during the taping.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope Kimbo goes down again. I really do. I want Kimbo to get his ass kicked one more time.
No.
Yes.
You know what I want to happen?
I'm going to go call Seth Petrolucci.
Oh. Yeah, he was on Ultimate Fighter Season 2. Why didn't Dana White sign him after he kicked Kimbo Slice's ass?
So what do you want to have happen?
I want Kimbo to beat his opponent. I want Big Country to lose. And then on an undercard or another fight night, we get Kimbo versus Big Country Nelson in a rematch with a healthy Kimbo. And with probably Roy Big Country Nelson 10 pounds heavier, and Kimbo can kick his ass.
Okay.
Here's the official card for the Ultimate Fighter finale.
Which is going to be
preliminary card. Preliminary card. Daryl Schoonover versus James McSweeney.
So it's Titties versus the Brit?
Yeah.
Somewhere, yeah, Quentin Rampage Jackson is breaking another door.
He sucks. Oh, and by the way, in a recent Playboy interview, he said that he absolutely hated doing that. He did not like being the coach at all.
And why did he do it for a second time?
Don't ask me.
Can I continue with the card?
Go ahead.
All right, this is the rest of the undercard. John Madsen versus Justin Wren. Brian Stan versus Rodney Wallace. John Howard versus Dennis Hallman. Mark Bocek versus Joe Brammer. The main card, Marcus Jones versus Matt Mitrione.
Oh, Mitrione's Frank going down hard in this one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Marcus Jones now. He's 6'6", 265, but put together. Whew. Okay.
Why hasn't WWE signed him yet?
Frank Edgar versus Matt Veitch. At a catchweight of 215, you got Kimbo versus Houston Alexander. Matt Hamill versus John Jones, and of course your main event, Big Country Nelson versus Brendan Schaub.
Oof! Wow!
I need a Scott Steiner soundbite stat.
Hey.
Yes.
The Scott Steiner soundbite stat. He's fat.
Okay.
He's fat.
Or any Scott Steiner soundbite would work.
Did you wrestle a lot of countries?
Okay.
Thank you.
Moving on from this event, let's talk a little bit more about the much bigger event next week.
UFC 107.
Which is, yes, I'm looking at the fight card now, which is going to be mighty interesting, to say the least. You've got, let's see, Kevin Burns versus TJ Grant. You've got DeMarcus Johnson versus Edgar Garcia. I believe this is the undercard stuff.
Yeah,
DeMarcus Johnson, I'm trying to remember, where was he from? Wasn't he from Ultimate Fighter, U.S. versus
let me
U.K.?
Check. Let me check. Stupid Wookie. He was, yes, he was U.S. U.K. Husamir Paul-Harris versus Lucio Linhares. I think this fight was originally supposed to be on the Ultimate Fighter. The Ultimate Finale, I should say. Johnny Hendricks versus Ricardo Funch. Matt Wyman versus Shane Nelson. And Alan Belcher versus Wilson Govea for the preliminaries. Then you get to the main card. Paul Buentello versus Stefan Struve. No idea who that is. Here's a fight that's going to be interesting.
This is going to be a great fight. Kenny Florian from UFC 1, Ultimate Fighter 1, I think. Yes?
Yep, and I'm holding the DVD as we speak.
Versus Clay Guida. You know?
That's going to be a war.
Yeah,
I think the winner of that fight's going to get a shot at the title.
Could be.
That, and then we'll get back to the title in a second. Then you got John Fitch versus Mike Pierce. Frank Mir looking for redemption against Czech Congo.
Ooh, that's going to be a fun fight.
And the main event, lightweight championship on the line, Diego Sanchez versus BJ Penn.
See, Penn... I'm going to go Diego Sanchez on that one.
I'm going with BJ Penn.
So, let's talk about Ultimate Fighter 11. They are doing castings.
They're already casting for UFC 11.
Yeah, for Ultimate Fighter 11.
Okay.
Middleweights and light heavyweights.
Oh, so throwback to number one. That's what they did at number one, middleweights and light heavyweights.
Current
more big guys so that he has more meat to feed Lesnar.
Yes.
Yeah. Currently currently the four names that are supposedly being considered for coaching are Tito versus Forrest.
Ooh, hello again.
Or Dan Hardy and GSP.
Damn.
Hardy versus GSP. How about Tito versus GSP?
That would
this
be
would be, because this would be Tito's second go at coaching, and he did really well at, on the third Ultimate Fighter, where his boy Michael Bisping won. And how well has Bisping's career been going? I mean, the only match I remember recently that he lost was at UFC 102 when he fought Dan Henderson and lost. Or was that 103?
Oh, Michael Bisping?
That was 100. That was the co-main at 100.
Oh, yeah, that's way when Bisping got knocked the fuck on his ass. He got his ass shut up by Dan Henderson. Oh, my God. And then he did the elbow for the good measure, which was just so pretty. It was so pretty.
That was the coach's fight. That was the coach's fight for US-UK.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he just got shut the fuck up. I'm sorry. When I saw that fight, I went to see it at Radio City Music Hall in front of about 3,000 people. And when Bisping got knocked out, the crowd just screamed in orgasmic pleasure. I'm dead serious. It was beautiful to watch.
There had to be a chant of USA! USA!
Yeah. Oh,
USA!
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Right.
It was pretty. But, yes.
Just want to give a brief show announcement here right now. December 18th will be the last show of the year for us. We will not be doing a show Christmas Day for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It is up in the air whether we'll do a show New Year's. Probably not.
I'll be doing a show New Year's Eve at midnight.
Are you crazy?
I did it last year.
True.
So either look for us January 1st or January 8th, 2010.
Now, a quick question, though. What is our sort of year in review show, the 18th?
It'll be the 18th. We will have a two-hour show for the year in review where we will have some special awards to hand out, some good, some in the, well, we like to call them the Sparky Awards for the bad ones.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
How you doing, Sparky?
Ow.
Ow.
He's
ow.
A heel.
Heel.
No, guys, calm down.
Tweener.
All I gotta do is just feed him this XPW DVD and he'll be fine.
That won't make him.
Why did I feel my ass for half a second?
Yes, I'm just adding fuel to that fire.
But it's going to be good because there was a lot of good stuff this year.
A lot of good stuff this year. There also was a lot of bad stuff this year. And I could safely say that Jeremy Piven will be given a Sparky Award. Unless either Mark Cuban or whoever doing the show after him is worse.
That's Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller.
And I don't buy it. I don't think it will. I don't think he could be that bad.
So, safe shot for Jeremy Piven. And along with this, we will have a committee to determine who has the winners. We will have a panel discussion about these winners and who we're voting for on Wednesday or Thursday with me, Nikki, Jason, VRM and Typho, you want to join in the panel discussion?
Thursday? Are we going to be calling in or IMing? How are we going to do
that? IMing. This will be all IM.
Okay, that's fine. I can do that.
What?
Question, what time on Wednesday?
Wednesday the 16th or Thursday the 17th. We could all five of us together to conduct such a thing.
Okay, both days are bad for me because Wednesday is my show, and Thursday I have an exam.
All right. Nikki, can you take over for a second? I have another call.
No, that's fine.
All right, cool. Thank you.
As we're in the last couple of minutes of the last few minutes of the show, I was going to say, I just wanted to throw in a couple of memories about Umaga, if I could.
Go for it.
Go.
One of the funniest things I enjoyed about Umaga was just the fact that he seemed to really enjoy his character to the point that even a referee could get involved. I was at a house show shortly after Armando and Umaga were split up, and the Intercontinental title was involved. Santino Marella was also involved, so you already know this is going to be silly.
Yes.
Santino's in the ring, Umaga's in the ring. The referee for the evening is Jack Dunn. Santino starts hemming and hawing about having an Intercontinental title match. He's not really sure, is how he puts it. To which Mr. Dunn, the referee, in a rare moment of frustration, grabs the microphone, says, "You're not sure? Well, I'm sure. Ring the bell." To which then Umaga decided to stop Santino Marella in a meatball sauce.
There you go.
One of the last shows I did get to see him, he was in a tag match, the most random tag match I've ever seen. Umaga and Edge versus Gregory Helms and the Great Khali. Wrap your brain around that for a second.
I'm sorry?
Wrap your brain around that for a second.
I'm trying to. It's not working.
Okay. Helms and Khali, of course, together as a team. Umaga comes stomping out, decked out in his gear. Now comes Edge with face paint, extra tattoos, and Canada across his midsection, just like Umaga's Samoa.
Oh, God.
I have pictures as proof of this. I want to know whose rib was that.
I don't know, but it sounds like it must have been fun.
Oh, it was. I think Edge was having much fun with it, and he just couldn't smile through it because he was still a heel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sir, Edge, we want you back, too. Under 3 minutes. Anybody else?
I will say this, though. Umaga... Also, if you want to know, Umaga was also involved in Jeff Hardy for a little bit, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I was at the suspension show.
Suspension show?
The Raw in September 2007, when all the suspensions were handed down.
When he got wellness hammered.
Yeah, the wellness hammer dropped, and Umaga was on the list that day, so. Umaga and Jeff Hardy put on a hell of a match, and Jeff walked away with the belt.
Okay. Also, just to let you know, there have been some pay-per-view, some pay-per-view numbers that came out. There's some buy rate estimates for two of their last three pay-per-views. Breaking Point, which was the submission match, just drew under 200,000 buys.
Not bad for an inaugural.
But the other one had dropped about 25,000. But Hell in a Cell drew 300,000 buys. Which I'm totally surprised at. Way up from No Mercy, which was 39,000 less at 261,000. And also Bragging Rights is estimated at around 200,000. Last year, and then Cyber Sunday. So, you know, maybe those two concept pay-per-views are going to be sticking around for a little bit.
God, I hope Hell in a Cell and Breaking Point go away. I like Bragging Rights to say, because that'd be good.
Bragging Rights is very cool. Bragging Rights I like.
And yeah, that does it for this week.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody. See you next week.
All right, we're done.
Yep.
Bye.
Good night.